Sahana Bhavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavarikamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 76, verses 17 to 32. Chittaketu chants the Mahavidya and receives darshan of Lord Shankarsana. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, Thereafter, being very much pleased with Chittaketu, who is a self-controlled devotee and surrendered soul, Narada, the most powerful sage, spoke to him the following transcendental instructions. Footnote 23. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the instructions begin with the verse 18 and conclude with verse 25. Okay. So here he's a devotee. He's gotten distracted. But as soon as he comes back in contact with the advanced devotees, hears instructions, then immediately he returns to his natural position. Right? That's the point. Devotional service isn't lost. So he may be in a position that things aren't functioning, but it's not lost. Because sometimes we'll think something happens and then, you know, somebody's not practicing seriously, and so that's it, it's finished. But as soon as they do get inspired, they'll go back to whatever position they were in before. Yes? It means a very large, you're trying to say a very large offense, something. So like elephantine-sized offense. The mad elephant. Okay. Okay, that can reduce. That's the only thing that can get rid of it. It's not that it automatically, but I'm saying it can reduce. So depending upon the situation, this, that. But in other words, that's the dangerous one. Other ones are going to slow down or stop your progress, but it won't remove any progress that's there. That's why then, you know, understanding position of devotees, appreciating devotees, that's always important. So, yeah. Narada gave Chittaketu the following mantra. O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, who are addressed by the Omkara, Pranava, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O Lord Vasudeva, I meditate upon you. O Lord Pradyumna, Lord Aniruddha, and Lord Sankarsana, I offer you my respectful obeisances. O reservoir of spiritual potency, O supreme bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are self-sufficient and most peaceful. O ultimate truth, one without a second, you are realized as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And are therefore the reservoir of all knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. 17 to 19. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, We offer respects to you, the Lord. We meditate on you. We meditate on you to please you. Right, so they're not meditating on him to please oneself. Because you find that sometimes as people will be involved in devotional activities, but for the benefit that they'll get from it. You know, more spiritual, less spiritual. But much of the time when we look at it, our involvement in devotional service, we're looking at the benefit we'll get rather than how much we'll please Krishna. Right? So in the beginning, because we're always looking for benefit, that's why we're in the material world, then to start with that attitude's not a problem, because then you're recognizing that real benefit comes from the Lord. Right? But after that, then there isn't anything. Like that goes away. Then it's just about pleasing the Lord. Is that what it says? Nine words, four are in the next verse, are used to distinguish the Supreme Lord from the Jiva. Vijnana Matraya refers to the Lord who is covered with pure Chit Shakti, whereas the Jiva is covered with ignorance. According to Medini, mantra can mean an ear ornament, wealth, a measure, and a covering. No, matra, excuse me. An ear ornament, wealth, a measure, and a covering. The Lord has a form of the highest bliss, but the Jiva has a form of five material elements. The Lord enjoys his own bliss, but the Jiva enjoys the bliss of material sense objects. Right? So the Lord is self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything outside to be satisfied, but the Jiva is only satisfied with something outside himself. Right? So then, now in the conditioned state, we're using the material energy for that satisfaction. Right? In the spiritual realm, then that service to Krishna is our satisfaction. Right? Why is it that he doesn't require this? We do, because he's Shaktiman and we're Shakti, so we're dependent. He's independent. So he. Yeah.
It would say that in the spiritual world, we have the form of Sati Ananda.
Right.
To a minute degree. Why is that not satisfying us too? Fully.
Fully. But why does Krishna have rasa?
Intense.
Yeah.
So he says that he's on the level of Atmarama.
Right.
Satisfied. And just enhance it, then he engages in rasa.
Right.
Plus, he'd be on the same level then.
The point is where does that Satchitananda come from?
Okay.
So, but that means then he is Satchitananda. But we're dependent upon him. So that dependency is what makes the difference. Means we can come to that neutral state of Atmarama. But the point is for us, that's a temporary position. You know what I'm saying? We come to that stage on the way out of the material world before being absorbed in rasa.
Okay.
Because if Krishna's just in the Atmarama stage, will there be any manifestation of his energy? You understand? So therefore we won't be manifest. So therefore the interaction with other living entities won't be there. Because he expands himself for enhancing,
mm-hmm.
you know, the taste of happiness. Therefore then we're manifest, therefore then we're interactive. So our position is only there when he's like that. Is that So there's always that distinction between the Lord and us. So the quality is the same, but the quantity is not. You know? And so the nature of him, he's independent, we're not. So then that defines the relationship. So,
because it would say, for example, Shantarasa.
Yes.
It's the closest to that thing.
Yes, but it's dynamic in that you're thinking about the Lord. It's not just thinking about the self. It's thinking about the Lord, who's the Supreme Self. Okay. Yes, but it's close to that. It's just the other side, you know. So it's in the positive, not in the neutral, but it's just the other side of that positive. The Lord is not nivritta, attached, drishtaye, to the material world, dvaita, whereas the jiva is attached to the material world. Yeah, self-sufficient, most peaceful, right? So he is the origin, but he's peaceful. Why? Because he has no material desire. Right? We're not peaceful because we have material desire. That's the point. Material desire is there, then we are not peaceful. The mind is disturbed. When there's no material desire, the mind is not disturbed. So when we want things, then the mind is disturbed. When it doesn't want anything, it's not disturbed. That's why we see is the mind is like, you know, is based like the air. So when it moves, it's disturbed. When it doesn't move, it's not disturbed. Right? Same with the breathing. When it's moving, the mind will be disturbed. When it stops, it won't be disturbed. Does that make sense? So therefore, it's because that movement means there's activity. So if the activity is connected to Krishna, technically there's no activity. So then that means the mind will be peaceful. So when we're absorbed in Krishna consciousness, the mind will actually be peaceful. Right? And Krishna is already absorbed in Krishna consciousness, so that's why he's already peaceful. Right? There's never a time when he's not Krishna conscious, so therefore he's always peaceful. Right? So he being everything, then there is only him to be conscious of. So that aspect, we take that, we're always conscious of him, then our life works. If we try to take it from the principle of it, that, oh, I'm just think of myself, then we come here, and it doesn't work out so well. The mantra continues, perceiving your personal bliss, you are always transcendental to the waves of material nature. Therefore, my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. You are the supreme controller of the senses, and your expansions of form are unlimited. You are the greatest, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Right. So, he is bliss. So, perceiving that bliss, right, that's his energy. So, therefore, then he is very, very happy. Right? It's because he's always absorbed in his transcendental position. Therefore, he's transcendental material world. So, if we're absorbed in that also, we'll be transcendental. Okay. Right, so he's the supreme control of the senses. What he wants gets done. That's his control. But for us, because the senses aren't from us, right, the senses are from Krishna, therefore we're controlled by the senses. Right? So control of the senses mean they're connected to Krishna. Krishna engages his senses connected to himself. They're controlled. We don't connect it to Krishna, and they're not controlled. We try to connect to ourselves, therefore they're not controlled. We're controlled by them. Right? Krishna's energy is engaged in the Lord's service. There's no conditioning. Not engaged in the service, then we are controlled. So the modes, we are not controlled by the modes, we engage them in Krishna's service. But if we don't, then we're controlled by the modes. You understand? So Krishna is himself, his energies. Therefore, he is never controlled by him. He's the one that is controlling them. But for us, this body and that is not us. It's this part of the expansions of form are unlimited. So all the different aspects of our nature are all just parts of the universal form. Right? So Krishna is not controlled by them. But we are. Is that? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura continues, you have completely, thrown off, asata, the waves of maya, shakti, in the form of attachment and hatred. The jiva, however, is in the midst of the waves of attraction and hatred. You are the controller of all the senses, Hrishikeshaya, but the jiva is controlled by his senses. You are great, but the jiva is small. You have forms which are indestructible, but the jiva has destructible bodies. Right? So any form Krishna has is indestructible, right? But our forms somehow or another always seem to disappear, right? Does that make sense? It's just like this. We've been here since time immemorial, and we know a date when we are born. So between that date we were born and going back into the past since time immemorial, we can kind of conclude that there must have been something else in between that was temporary. Right? The mantra concludes, the words and mind of the conditioned soul cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for material names and forms are not applicable to the Lord, who is entirely spiritual, beyond the conception of gross and subtle forms. Right? 'Cause here we have material names. But actually, his names aren't, because they are non-different. Here the names are what we would give to that form, that action, that experience, that is temporary. It's made out of material elements. So it's actually just made out of atoms, so it's not actually that thing. Right? But Krishna, he is who he is. Right? Okay. For material names and forms are not applicable to the Lord, who is entirely spiritual, beyond the conception of gross and subtle forms. The impersonal Brahman is another of his forms. May he, by his pleasure, protect us. Footnote 24. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, in this verse he offers respects to the impersonal feature of the Lord. As pots made completely of earth are situated on earth after being created and are transformed into earth again when broken, this cosmic manifestation is caused by the Supreme Brahman, situated in the Supreme Brahman and annihilated in the same Supreme Brahman. Therefore, since the Supreme Lord is the cause of Brahman, let us offer him our respectful obeisances. Right? So the whole material creation is coming from Brahman. Right? Because Brahman is all of this, whatever is the nature here. Then forms and activities are created from that. But because it's all temporary, because of the nature, it'll all go back into that again. Right? So he's offering his respects to the Lord in his feature of Supreme Brahman, because everything that we know is resting in Brahman. Right? But then he takes it further to offer his respectful obeisances to Krishna, the person, because it's on the person that Brahman is situated. Right? The whole material creation is situated on Brahman. Brahman is situated on Krishna. Right? The Supreme Brahman emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and expands like the sky. Although untouched by anything material, it exists within and without. Because material is our concept of it, and that the elements are there, that's all eternal, right? Pradhan's eternal, right? But its particular being manifest and unmanifest, that's temporary, right? So therefore it's all Brahman. Yes. But that's also manifest and unmanifest.
Is a manifestation of Pradhan?
Means if it depends which aspect you're taking. No. But I'm just saying, are we taking that there is the one quarter of the cosmic creation is where the material pastimes happen? That's eternal. But the particular where he glances and then that becomes Mahatattva. That will be temporary, because then that will all go back into him.
And Pradhan?
Pradhan is eternal.
Principle?
No. Pradhan's eternal because it's not a matter of, because when there's manifestation, that's called Mahatattva. When it's unmanifest, that's Pradhan. It means it's there, but it's just, in other words, you have that particular kind of, energy, but in its unmanifest means it's homogeneous. So everything's just mixed up nicely.
But can we say that whenever there's a need to create a material world, then Krishna glances and this energy from Pradhan goes into whatever?
No, just it transforms. But I'm saying it's made of the same stuff. It's just it's just like, let's say if we have some clay, and then we form it into shapes, it's still the same clay. And then if we take it all and just push it back into a ball, it's still clay. So the clay is Pradhan, and those manifestations, that's Mahatattva.
So Pradhan would be like the storage of all the material elements, or whatever elements.
It is the material element. But in its, we call it Pradhan when it's in its unmanifest state. Then when it separates, we call that Mahatattva. So it's based on that.
And then it goes back at the time of dissolution?
Yes, it just goes back into Pradhan. Because in other words, you manifest something, then you put it back. Is that? Okay. Although untouched by anything material exists within and without, nonetheless, the mind, intelligence, senses, and living force can neither touch him or know him. So even though he's in everything, that is still, one can't touch him, because he's what's beyond. all we ever touch is the manifest form of the material energy, because that's all we're working with. Mind, intelligence, ego, the body, the senses, those are all manifestations of the Mahatattva. So that's then based on him. So because he's there, it works. Does that make sense? No, but Krishna is the deity form, not that he enters. It means the form and him are non-different. See, when you're actually, when you're having a pran patishta, Krishna's already there. Otherwise, who have you been offering the abhishek and everything to? Right? The pran patishta means that you're taking a vow that a particular standard of worship will always be done. Does that make sense? That's what's actually happening. Because otherwise it's non-different from Krishna. It's just that when you take that, make that mood, then he manifests himself up to that much. So then how much will reciprocate in that? That's how much will manifest. Does that make sense? So that's why this idea of uninstalled deities, it doesn't exist. I don't know where the term comes from, you know, unless Prabhupada used it just to get devotees to understand something. But devotees take it uninstalled, I can do whatever I want. You know, it's kind of like the girlfriend, the unmanifest wife. I can do whatever I like. You know what I'm saying? Huh? Yes, that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. If you see the deal, it's uninstalled, so it doesn't matter what we do, then that's the point. He'll never manifest. You know what I'm saying? There's temporarily manifest. That means when you're worshiping, he's there, and when you're not, he's not there. But when you do pran patishta, then he's permanently there. If you're not worshiping him, he's still there. So this idea is then we can do anything we want. Anybody can worship, it doesn't matter. No, the point is when you're worshiping, he's there. Right? Does that make sense? And then when you go on your vacation and all that, and you're not doing any worship, then he's not there.
This is what happened with Jagannath in Rastra, Lord Jagannath, because he was, they stopped worshiping him, but then...
No, but yes, because he's there. Yes, that's the whole point. But uninstalled deity as such, then that won't happen. Like that. Unless of course he wants, because he is the form, he is non-different. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, what is the difference between Saguna Brahma and Nirguna Brahma?
Okay. Nirguna Brahman means Brahman has no material qualities. Everything's situated on, but it's not that. Just like the earth and the clay pot made out of earth. The earth is not a clay pot. The clay pot is earth. You understand? Yeah. That's Nirguna Brahman. Saguna Brahman means all of Krishna's unlimited qualities are there in their, generic sense. They're not specific. Does that make sense? Like I say, use the word strength. That's a quality. But what's the manifestation? So Brahman means that means there's no manifestation. Right?
So Saguna, yes, manifestation of the...
No, Saguna means it is the unmanifest qualities of the Lord.
Still unmanifested.
Mm. That was, how you say, there was that, I'm not sure how to say it, what's the proper term, but it was brilliant watching for a second there when we said something and it absolutely did not compute. And he's just sitting there in a total blank. It was very interesting. See, This is the problem, is because of our being contaminated by the concept that Brahman is nirguna, we can't actually understand the real nature of Brahman, which is saguna. We use the term nirguna means there's no material qualities. But it is the qualities. Otherwise, it means just like the pot. The pot's made out of earth. But if earth didn't have a particular nature and qualities, how do we make a pot?
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So that means the whole material manifestation is coming from Brahman, because Brahman has all the qualities. Someone is strong, someone is beautiful, someone is powerful, someone is wealthy. Those are all qualities of Brahman. But the manifestation here is through the external energy. So therefore, it's not Krishna. Right? But the point is that he is what is the support of all that. Because it is his quality of strength that we see in something. Like this column here is manifesting Krishna's quality of strength. But the manifestation is temporary, it's in material energy. Therefore, we can say it's illusion. Right? But at the same time, it's real, it actually is there. So that's the difference between the understanding of Saguna Brahman and those who only understand Nirguna. We can understand both, right? But the you know, world philosophers, they only understand Nirguna. That's why they can't tell what's real and what's not real. Right? Does that make sense? So when you have mu, it means you have only transcendental. You don't have a material manifestation, you have a spiritual manifestation. So now when it's manifest through internal potency, those forms are eternal. Right? But here, the manifestation is temporary. Right? So there, because it's eternal, we don't even bother with the Brahman part or the Paramatma part. We just deal with Bhagavan. But here, we deal with Brahman and Paramatma, because those are the only things that are actually, in that way, permanent or real. So everything else is temporary. So therefore, between the temporary manifestation and the Lord himself, therefore we say he's nirguna, because there's no material qualities. But the whole point is the real reason that the pillar is a pillar is because of the eternal qualities of Brahman, not because of the material energy. So that's where the difficulty comes. You know, because we say, oh, so it's not real, but then it doesn't exist. No, it's not real in that it's not a pillar. It's looking like a pillar by Krishna's potency, but actually after some time it won't be a pillar anymore. Right? You know, like in Rome, you have what they call it the Colosseum. But technically it's not the Colosseum. It's half a Colosseum. But, you know, that's not going to sound good. Who wants to take their picture after a marriage in front of half a Colosseum, right? So therefore it's called the Colosseum. Right? Yeah. Does that make sense? So in other words, there's half now. Come back after a few years and there will be nothing left. There'll be a pile of rubble, right? You know, then they can put up the board. The pile of rubble that was the Colosseum.
Right.
Yeah. You know, is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I mix it with the, like, my word suggests was para Brahma, you know, the above Brahma and the low Brahma.
No, because they don't understand all these things. There is the para Brahma, but that's the saguna Brahman. And the lower one, that's how you say it? See, because of the terms, means when you say Saguna Brahman, okay, the material energy is Saguna Brahman. And then higher than that's the Nirguna, because it has no material qualities. But actually all those qualities come from that Nirguna Brahman. Because otherwise, let's say, we say Brahman, okay? Brahman, okay, now on Nirguna Brahman, okay? Will we accept that it is eternal?
Yeah.
Okay, will we say that it's unchangeable?
Yeah.
Will we say it's unlimited?
Yeah.
All pervading.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are all qualities. So if it's nirguna, how does it have those qualities?
It means it's spiritual quality.
Yes. That's the whole point. That's why we say actually it's saguna. We only, when you're talking on this side, then we'll say it's nirguna because it's that side. But when you go that side, then it's full of all qualities. That's where the qualities here come from. Right? The saguna of the material world comes from the saguna of Brahman.
Okay. So it's like the two sides on one coin.
It would be more like, you know, you have a puppet.
Yeah.
And then you have your hand inside the puppet.
Yeah.
So, is the hand the puppet?
No.
But can the puppet function without the hand?
No.
That's Brahman and the material energy. So actually the puppet's the hand. But we think the puppet's the puppet and the hand's the hand. Does that make sense? So all these overlaps, that's where people's heads get bent around in pretzels and stuff like that. As iron has the power to burn when made red hot in the association of fire, so the body, senses, living force, mind, and intelligence, although merely lumps of matter, can function in their activities when infused with a particle of consciousness by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So here we're using iron, fire, meaning the body is iron, and when there's a particle of this potency of the Lord, the soul, then it can act as if it's living, even though everything, the body, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, they're all dead matter. I mean, like doornail dead matter. Right? Sack of hammers, dead matter. Right? Does that make sense? But because it's infused with this particle of Krishna, the jiva, therefore it's alive. Does that make sense? Right? Same with the material energy. It's Krishna's infused the whole thing, therefore it functions. As iron cannot burn unless heated by fire, the bodily senses cannot act unless favored by the Supreme Brahman. O Transcendental Lord, who are situated in the topmost planet of the spiritual world, your two lotus feet are always massaged by a multitude of the best devotees with their lotus bud hands. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, complete in six opulences. You are the Supreme Person mentioned in the Purusha Shukta prayers. You are the most perfect, as Purusha Shukta talks about the creation, that so it's about him. You are the most perfect, self-realized master of all mystic power. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. In his purport to verse 25, beginning with, O Transcendental Lord, Srila Prabhupada comments. It is said that the absolute truth is one, but is manifested in different features as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. The previous verses describe the Brahman and Paramatma features of the absolute truth. Now this prayer is offered in Bhakti Yoga to the Absolute Supreme Person. The words used in this regard are Sakala Sattvata Parivridha. The word Sattvata means devotees, and Sakala means all together. The devotees, who also have lotus feet, serve the lotus feet of the Lord with their lotus hands. The devotees may sometimes not be competent to serve the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore the Lord is addressed as Parama Parameshtin. He is the Supreme Person. Yet he is very kind to the devotees. No one is competent to serve him, but even if a devotee is not competent, the merciful Lord accepts the humble attempt of the devotee. Right? So the devotee thinks, I'm very confident, then what's to accept? Right? Because you're saying, I'm doing all this, but we're not doing all this. So therefore, since you say you're doing all this, then you offer what you're doing. And we're not doing anything. It's all being carried out by the Lord's energy. So there's nothing to offer. You understand? That's why if we're not humble, there's nothing to offer. You can say, you know, I'm doing so much, and they're so proud of their offering. But technically, if that attitude, there's not zero to offer, because they haven't done any of that. When you think, I'm the humble servant of Krishna, and I'm just trying to, you know, be involved in as an instrument in Krishna's service, then there's so much to offer. You understand? Because then we're an instrument. Some sense. That's why humility is basically, I mean, pride is useless in devotion. It's useless in anything, but it's especially useless in devotional service, right? So the Lord, he is the ultimate. So who's qualified? He's unlimited. We're limited. But because of the mood of devotion, therefore he's very kind, and he reciprocates with that mood of the devotees. So, okay, so that's the meaning is you know, then being in the fire of Krishna consciousness, because then we're always associated with the Lord, with the devotees that are associated with the Lord. Therefore, that fire, that's Krishna. Right. So therefore, even though when the living entity is in the body, then the body seems to be animate, but actually it's because the Lord has put a spark of His energy there. That's why it functions. Right? So when we have that attitude of humble service to the Lord, then everything becomes perfect. Then it works very nicely. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, Narada, having become the spiritual master of Chitraketu, instructed him fully in this prayer because Chitraketu was fully surrendered. Right? So half surrendered, half instructed. Right? Fully surrendered, fully instructed. So, yeah. O King Parikit, Narada then left with the great sage Angira for the topmost planet known as Brahma Loka. Right? Because that's where they're from. Right? Brahma's planet, they're Brahma's sons. That's, they're going to say there's any place that's kind of like a base, that's it. Srila Prabhupada comments, when Angira had first come to visit King Chitraketu, he did not bring Narada with him. However, after the death of Chitraketu's son, Angira brought Narada to instruct King Chitraketu about Bhakti Yoga. The difference was that in the beginning, Chitraketu was not in a temperament of renunciation. But after the death of his son, when he was overwhelmed by his great plight, he was awakened to the platform of renunciation by instructions regarding the falsity of this material world and material possessions. But, so in other words, the possessions are there as a quota to use in the Lord's service. But if we actually think these are mine, you know, and therefore we're attached to them, that's where problem starts. Right? All problems start from that. But if we see as this is our quota to use in the Lord's service, Krishna very kindly has given us the use, so we use that in the Lord's service. But if you think, no, I want this or I want that for me because of my identity, then we'll have a problem. But if it's a matter of this is something to use in Krishna's service, then everything will work perfectly. Does that make sense? See the difference in the mentality? So that's what we're starting to become aware of. Because up to this point, basically everything was taking your conditioning, engaging in the Lord's service. Therefore, everything can be engaged because, you know, according to the rules, because it's all Krishna. But it leaves the scope for us to still identify with it, though it's being pointed out that Prithu Maharaj, being an avatar of the Lord, is not going to think like that. Priyavrata is not going to think like that. So it's already been introduced that people don't think like that. But now we see very specifically that that's not the way to think. Okay. So, yes. Yes.
They manifesting loudness, manifesting the typical nature of the Kshatriya, that even Lord Krishna is encouraging for everybody.
Right. Yes, yes.
He sees this as a physical action, and he likes this type of.
No. It's a matter of let's say if you're going to do service to Krishna. Okay, we have this, you know, 1,000th tip of the hair floating around in Brahman. How do you express devotion? Right? In other words, I offer something to somebody. How do I get something to offer? It's a result of action. How will there be action unless there's individuality and definition of form and purpose, right? So that means, therefore, then we, through the specific forms in that, we use that to express our love for Krishna. So it doesn't matter what form it is in, you know, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa, it doesn't matter. We just follow those to serve Krishna, because then he'll reciprocate on that level. You know, it's just like, let's say, you go to, you know, there's a small child, right? They're going to deal with you in a specific way, as a small child. So then you deal with them in reciprocation on that platform, right? Does that make sense? They want to play, you sit down, you play, right? Does that make sense? They want to eat, you know, like that. But now let's say you have an adult, you know, and they want to talk, let's say, some man stuff, you know, let's say, you know, getting down to some business, and they want to start it, they have an idea for starting a new thing to make money and all that, and you talk shop, right? So you know how to reciprocate, you know? Now, so it makes it very clear. Now, what if you come along and the two-year-old wants to talk shop? Because he's got this, you know, 20-year plan how you can make $1 million. You know, and then the 55-year-old guy in the Armani suit, you know, wants to go out and play. You know, he opens his briefcase and pulls out a few cars. You know, hey, I got two cars. You want one? You know, hey, room, 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 room. Right? So that's why the Varnashram system's there. So everybody actually plays the proper part. You understand? So all it is for them is a medium to express. So Krishna comes as a Kshatriya, therefore, is, you know, his, you know, that all that practical application is going to be through the Kshatriya Dharma, and it's all going to be those kind of personalities. Does that make sense? You know, or even as Brahmins or others, they're all connected to the Kshatriya environment, Dwarka. So that's the Kshatriya environment. Uddhava is there as a Brahmin to give guidance, but it's still within the context of the Kshatriya environment. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just, so that's why then we take our positions and just use that in Krishna's service. But how would we know how to use them? Because I'm using them for Krishna, so then I would naturally use them according to how Krishna defines they be used. You know what I'm saying? Let's say I go to someone's house. I interact with them in the house as they define the house. Right? The living room is the living room. The bedroom is the bedroom. The bathroom is the bathroom. Right? We don't say, you know, no, but, you know, you can do anything you want. So therefore they have this nice, big, you know, how you say, one of those, you know, how you call it? Those Chinese urns, you know, like that, with all the nice painting and everything. And it's an old one, you know, goes back to some dynasty and all this and that. And they have this very exotic plant there growing out of it. And we decide to use it as a bathroom. You can do it, you know, that's the thing. No, but it can be used as a bathroom. Why can't we use it as a bathroom? This is actually the level of consciousness and intelligence we're functioning at. When people say, we don't need Varnashram, we just do whatever we want. You know, we feel like this. No, but I can do this. Why can't I do this? What's the difference between them and, you know, little kids that just don't know the difference between these things? Just all it is they're in an Armani suit with a briefcase. That's all. So that's why it's weird. Yes. Yeah. So that's why then Krishna defines what's Desha, Kala, and Patra. He is the place. He is the time. He is the nature of the individual. But we're thinking, no, I am independent. I can do this as I want. But it's actually, no, Krishna is Desha, Kala, and Patra. We're thinking, no, Desha Kala Patra is this modern thing. And then there's this archaic Vedic. But actually, Desha Kala Patra is Krishna. So therefore, when Krishna says there's a living room, then you sit down there on the couch nicely and talk nicely. You know what I'm saying? You don't jump up and down on the couch, right? You go into the bedroom, then you jump up and down on the bed, right? You don't jump up and down on couches. You jump up and down on beds. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. but just be careful if you have a low ceiling, you know, then, you know. Does that make sense? So that's why then we do. We have these duties. You know, one is brahmacharya has duties, grihastha duties, man duties, women duties. All these things are in place because it's all Krishna. And so we just apply these things how Krishna says. Otherwise, we have no idea how to use them. Right? It's just like girl is trained, then she has personal beauty. Then what is that pure personal beauty for? It's for the relationship and attraction between her and her husband, right? So therefore, then she is, even though she's very attractive, she keeps that attractiveness, you know, dampened. Not that she doesn't look nice, but she doesn't flaunt it, right? But the modern, you know, how you say, perspective is, if you got it, flaunt it. So, therefore, they want everybody to know that they've got it. So, you can do that. But that's not how Krishna's defined the nature of it. You can do that. That's why there's 8,400,000 species of life. You can take the human life and get any of the other 8,400,000 forms out of it by how your mentality is. Right? It's just like when we go out into the forest, do we not appreciate the beauty of the trees in the forest? Right? Everyone will say, nice, they look very beautiful. You know? Is that, you know, nice shapes, nice colors and all that, right? Everybody will agree. So, therefore, if a girl wants to always, express her uniqueness by not wearing clothes, you know, then people are appreciating. She's not wearing clothes. They all say she looks nice. But that's not the way humans are supposed to look nice. So therefore, next life, she'll be a tree out in the forest. So everyone can come and say, oh, she looks nice. And it's not illegal. It's proper. Right? You're supposed to appreciate trees look nice because they're naked. They look great. You know, if you came out there and you found, you know, all the trees were wearing suits and stuff like that, you'd think, what's going on here? This is a weird forest. And, you know, and you wouldn't want to meet the people who are dressing them up, right? You know. No? You know, and then besides that, how big are the sewing machines? You know, where do they get all that cloth? You know, it's going to be confusing. Right? So that's why things are done in a certain way. We rebel against that, and that's the modern thing, because I'm rebelling, therefore I'm so great, you know. It started back, I mean, you've always had an underlying element of it, you know, it goes back, you see in France back in the, when do you go back to the late 1800s, you had the whole bohemian kind of scene there, the artists, and they're all expression and doing what they like, and like this. But, you know, it's just those guys there in that particular area of Paris, right? You know. But otherwise, you know, everybody else doesn't do that. But in the 50s, then you had that, what was that guy's name? Kerouac or something? Jack Kerouac. You know, so then it's just, you know, the free spirit going out, just traveling, doing nothing, having no responsibility, and that's considered, wow, that's great, you know? And then you take it to a little grosser form, you put them on a chopped Harley, and they drive around the country, but at the end of the movie, they're all dead anyway, so whatever it is, you know, so how many of them, they're free, they're great, they're dead, you know, yeah, you know, so therefore, why have the whole thing, you know how much money they would have saved if they just shot the guys in the beginning, you know, then it would have been a short, and then they could have, you know, for less money, they still could have gotten an award, right? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that it's just this freedom, not following any rules, not doing that, just your own man, your own. But yeah, there it has a flavor. But in history, who remembers these people? Right? Like, let's say I say, Napoleon. Right? Anybody here not heard of Napoleon? Okay. You've never heard of Napoleon? Okay, here's your endeavor. What should I say? Okay. How many here have heard of Jack Kerouac? Okay, one. That's the point. The free spirit, there's one person that's heard of them. But the other guys who follow rules, follow the tradition, follow the things, everybody hears about it. So the point is in time, people remember those who work on what are the values that can be used in society. And all the guys are the free spirits. They disappear. No one's ever heard of them. Now, there's a good chance the group that I'm talking about in Paris, you know, that no one's heard of them either. Right? Has anybody ever heard of the Zazus? They were more later, I think, in the 30s and 40s. You know? They were also, you know, free-spirited group in Paris. Some of it's always Paris, right?
We like free.
Yeah, I'm being free. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that we stick to tradition, things work. We go outside of that, then it's fun for a moment, and then... Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just for some fun. Just like those that are in... Have you heard of preppy? Yeah? So those that are actually from that aristocratic, you know, background, they go to these, you know, high-end private schools. Now, they're from families that are already rich. So they don't have to worry about money. You know, so they go to school because, you know, it's one of the things you do. You get educated. But one of the things that's very popular amongst them is what can you do when you get to college to actually get tossed out? So much of the time, these preppy guys, that they're the worst students in the school. Right? Then after that, they get into their thing and they become, you know, I say... You know, ministers in the government and, you know, all these things, big businessmen, big, all these different things like that. They're the ones that run the society. And they're what we call the conservatives. But when they were in college, they were the least conservative, and all the people that claim they're conservative, I mean, claim they're liberal, are probably the most conservative in college. You know, trying to get their grades, trying to get it. These guys didn't care about grades. They were just partying and going crazy. You know what I'm saying? In fact, they're back. the giants are back. This is, he's just, you know, there doing whatever he likes, picking mangoes and moving around. Yeah, just the way he moves, you can see this. It's funny, man. Because you can't see the elephant, you only see the guy. You know, and they'll pick topics that are absolutely useless. You know, some bachelor degree in arts that, you know, is the easiest thing to get through, that it doesn't matter. You know, no work. They don't take doctor, lawyer these days. They just don't do that. You know. You understand? But when they're older, they're what we call the conservatives. They're the ones that are there. But when you talk to them, they'll reminisce about how crazy they were, you know, when they were kids and this and that. And, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that the liberals are conservative, the conservatives are liberal. It's all mixed up, because who's supposed to do what and all that is defined by Krishna. You follow that, everything works nicely. Because then the balance, because everybody's got a balance of the two. But the point is what's recommended, that's the proper balance. When we make up our own balance, then there's not necessarily a great balance. Does that make sense? That's the... Okay. It is, okay. He was awakened to the platform of renunciation by instructions regarding the falsity of this world, material world, and material possessions. It is only at this stage that bhakti yoga can be instructed. Because unless there's some detachment, we can't. So that's why we take up Krishna consciousness, generally when there's an anxiety. Right? So we see is that for the neophyte, the definition of those who surrender, there's an anxiety for all of them. Right? Either an emotional anxiety, you know, like this, or there's an economic anxiety, an intellectual anxiety, or just wanting to know what's the absolute truth anxiety. Right? But it's not about a relationship with God and all that kind of thing like that. You know, he's included in it, but it's more about ourselves. That's why it's neophyte. So because of that, that's when we can learn bhakti. Because there is an anxiety and there is a renunciation, because we see wealth is not working, relationships aren't working, you know, knowledge isn't working, understanding the absolute truth is not working. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's how one comes to Krishna consciousness. So therefore this happened for Chitta Keki. Yes.
Sometimes we say, after coming to Krishna consciousness, we experience the same stuff.
So
we should rejoin?
Yes. How do you say? How do you explain it? You know, it's like when the couple, you know, after 30 years, they renew their vows. Huh? Renew their vows, and, you know, it's for fun. You know, so. Renew your vows in Krishna consciousness to be serious and all that. Yes, you can do that. It's good. You can do that every day. If you want. You know, become serious every day. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 244. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam tayapahrita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhis samadhao navidhiyate. In the minds of those who are too much attached, or too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination of devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Right? So, therefore, that resolute determination doesn't happen. Right? It means, you know, we'll have some determination, but then it'll, you know, get really swayed and this and that. So, when we give up this tendency towards sense enjoyment and material opulence, when we think those are of value, then we'll be distracted. When we give that up, that's when we can be really focused in devotional service. As long as one is very much attached to material enjoyment, one cannot concentrate his mind on the subject matter of devotional service. The Krishna conscious movement is progressing successfully in the Western countries at the present moment, because the youth in the West have reached the stage of vairagya, or renunciation. They are practically disgusted with material pleasure from material sources, and thus has resulted in a population of hippies throughout the Western countries. Because that was the idea, the counterculture means that the culture that's there with just the standard values, the status quo, they don't find that there's any happiness in it. Therefore, they're rebelling against it. They don't have an alternative other than growing your hair and being dirty. But, you know, but, yeah. Did I leave anything out? Huh? Wearing funky clothes. Sorry?
Drugs?
Yeah, no, drugs can be very much part of it. Yeah. Okay.
Like it.
Yeah. It developed. When they first came out in the 66, they were called the what were they called?
The flower children.
Yeah. So there wasn't any of this stuff. It was kind of on the side. It's not that they wouldn't be involved, but it was just like being everybody together, communes, communal living, just doing everything. It's all natural. No, like that. And then from there, naturally, you know, if you don't have Krishna consciousness to lift ideals up, the ideals will go down. Then it got into this, you know, drug, sex, and rock and roll. You know, so that would be, you know, when you hit the 70s, that's what's going on. But those in 66, when they first came out, you know, the, what do you call it? Flower children, flower power. You know, you had, like, later you had them, they're out there, the police are there, and that they're throwing rocks and stuff at them. But the flower children, there's this famous picture, there's this line of army there, all with their guns. And there's this one girl going and sticking flowers in each one of them. like that. Completely peaceful. Like that. So that's where it started. So that's the problem. But then it turned into what you're talking about. But and then they're more frustrated. So then even better to come to Krishna consciousness. Because their alternative didn't work out either. You know, because then their alternative becomes a status quo. So. Okay. Now, if these young people are instructed about bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, the instructions will certainly be effective. So that's it. The renunciation is the thing. So this whole modern thing, no, I have rights, I have, you know, where's my facilities, I deserve, where's bhakti going to flourish? It has to be, no, I'm servant of Krishna, then Krishna gives his quota, whatever that is, according to nature, right? According to, then, you know, one makes oneself comfortable for being involved in Krishna's service. But it's not about, these things are important. It's not that being recognized by modern culture is important. That's a distraction. That's an attachment. Sense enjoyment and material opulence. So, sense enjoyment is bad, but material opulence, being respected, being, you know, this and that, you understand? It's the same thing. All it is just, we've shifted the material vision over, and now we say it's glorious. But it's still, because discussions are generally about management, not about pure bhakti. Management is necessary, but pure bhakti is more necessary. So that makes sense. As soon as Chitraketu understood the philosophy of Vairagya Vidya, the knowledge of renunciation, he could understand the process of bhakti yoga. That's why Prabhupada's book was Vairagya Vidya. You know, it was like the, you know, this process of bhakti. In this regard, Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has said, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 6.254. Vairagya Vidya and Bhakti Yoga are parallel lines. One is essential for understanding the other. It is said, because always remember Krishna, never forget, right? So always remember, that's these practices of bhakti yoga. The never forget means that we're giving up attachment to the material world. This knowledge about how to not be connected to the material world. Right? So that's why then these two go together. Gyan and vairagya go together. But they're offshoots of bhakti. You perform bhakti, you get gyan and vairagya, you apply the gyan and vairagya, you understand bhakti. But we have to understand that Gyan and Vairagya come from bhakti, so it's not independent. It is also said, bhakti pareshanubhavo vikritir anyatra cha, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42. Advancement in devotional service of Krishna consciousness is characterized by increasing renunciation of material enjoyment. Nard Muni is the father of devotional service, and therefore, just to bestow causeless mercy upon King Chitraketu, Angira brought Nard and Muni to instruct the king. These instructions were extremely effective. Anyone follows in the footsteps of Nard Muni is certainly a pure devotee. So he is the father of pure devotion, you know, of devotional service, because that's what he preaches. Pure devotional service, the process of renunciation, and deity worship. So you have a structured form in which everything can be offered to the Lord. So that's Nard Muni's position. So the first time he didn't come with Nard Muni because he wasn't interested in devotional service. He was just interested in this kid. Then after this calamity, then he became interested in devotional service. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, fasting and drinking only water, Chitraketu for 1 week continuously chanted with great care and attention the mantra given by Nard Muni. O King Parikit, after only 1 week of repeatedly practicing the mantra received from the spiritual master, Chitraketu achieved the rule of the planet of the Vidyadharas as an intermediate product of his spiritual advancement in knowledge. Footnote 25. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, first, the intermediate result is described. Thereafter, within a very few days, by the influence of the mantra that Chitraketu had practiced, his mind became increasingly enlightened in spiritual progress, and he attained shelter at the lotus feet of Anantadeva. Footnote 26. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, this verse describes the primary result.
Does that make sense? So, it's giving these different stages. So we see here, in 1 week he got to the one stage, and then a few more days he got to the primary result. Therefore, when Sanatana Goswami is talking about Gopakumar, there's no exaggeration here. It can work that quickly. Does that make sense? For us, something like what Gopakumar is going through, that may be, you know, a huge amount of lifetimes. But Gopakumar did it, you know, in the same, basically, you know, same consciousness. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada comments. As a result of rigid execution of devotional service, a devotee receives all material opulences, if these are required.
If they're required, they're not required, why you'll get them. We want them, if it's required, you'll get. We want them, they're not required, we won't get. We don't want, we're not interested in them or don't worry about them, but we require them, we'll get them. So the point is if they're necessary, we'll get them. And if they're not necessary, we won't get them. Right? So we want them, they're not necessary, we won't get them. We don't want them, they're not necessary, we won't get them.
Otherwise, the devotee is not interested in material opulences, nor does the Supreme Lord award them. Right? So he's not interested, he's not giving.
Notice it's lower. So in between, that was the generator. That was full power. This is a little less.
Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, upon reaching the shelter of Lord Sesha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chitraketu saw that he was as white as the white fibers of a lotus flower. He was dressed in bluish garments and adorned with a brilliantly glittering helmet, armlets, belt, and bangles. His face was smiling, and his eyes were reddish. He was surrounded by such exalted, liberated persons as Sanat Kumar. As soon as Maharaj Chitraketu saw the Supreme Lord, he was cleansed of all material contamination and situated in his original Krishna consciousness, being completely purified.
Right. So he was interested in devotional service. Therefore, having seen the Lord, therefore he came to this position. Well, we see Indra is not. Therefore, when he sees the Lord, he doesn't progress in that way. His material facilities required for his service that the Lord gives. But it's not that he doesn't get in trouble for it. Right? You know, he wants the sovereignty of the heavenly planets back, yes, but he also gets Vritrasura in the bargain. Right? Is that what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like that. But here we see Chitraketu, he meets the Lord, and then being, he's interested in that devotion, so therefore he takes advantage. Right? But that's come from Narad Muni. Just like we see with Dhruva Maharaj. It came from Narad Muni. Indra didn't appear to approach Narad Muni. So without that association, it didn't spark pure devotional service. Right? And we see Prajapati Daksha also had contact with Narad Muni, but it wasn't exactly positive. So, right? So therefore, devotional service and freedom from false ego. Basically, the personalities in charge of these things, he cursed them both. So therefore, even though he saw the Lord, he continued in his material life. Yes.
Can I say that he gets holy granted for association with devotees, especially such as Narada Muni, we have to be also in a distressed condition, more or less.
Yes, more or less, but it can be distress, just you're interested in pure devotional service and we're not. That can also be that distress.
Because Indra saw Narada Muni, not once.
But he doesn't take it seriously. So, you know, you mean like what you said. But even when he was distressed, he didn't go to Narada Muni.
He's in a Narada Muni consciousness. only was for me.
Yes, but he has to be interested, just like he was distressed before, and Angira didn't bring, because he was too absorbed. See, if you're distressed and surrendered to the Lord, then like the Pachetas, then they met Lord Shiva, right? Then they saw the Lord. So we see is that association of devotees, that's the key point. You have that, works nice. Don't have that, works less nice. He became silent and grave, and because of love for the Lord, tears fell from his eyes, and his hairs stood on end. With great devotion... Okay, that's it. Now I get it. Now I understand the pompadour. Moses' pompadour. It was just that was symptoms of ecstatic symptoms, that his hair was standing on end. Because it would look too freaky if it just stood up straight, so he combed it back, and therefore he had that amazing pompadour. Right? That's another thing. But then the point is, see, if his hairs weren't standing on end like Elvis, then it would be a flat pompadour. But because it was standing in ecstasy, therefore when he did it, then the pompadour was way out of proportion because the hairs were standing on end. So you couldn't comb them back. This makes a sense to anybody? That Moses had. He never saw the Ten Commandments. No? Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about.
Only about the commandments of Moses.
You don't remember the hairdo that Moses had after he came down from Sinai? Before that, he had regular hairdo, but after he went there, then his hairs were standing on end. So then, like that, yeah. No? Yeah, see? It's standard. Yeah. With great devotion and love, he offered his respectful obeisances unto the original personality of Godhead. 30-31. Srila Prabhupada comments. The word Tandarshana, Dvashta, Samasta, Kilbishaha is very important in this verse. If one regularly sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple, one will gradually be disinfected of all material desires simply by visiting the temple and seeing the deity. Probably called disinfected. It doesn't say, you know, the desire will go away. It will become disinfected. When one is freed from all the results of sinful activities, one will be purified. And with a healthy mind, completely cleansed, you will increasingly make progress in Krishna consciousness. So as we are purified, then we become interested in Krishna. But if the mind is still burdened by previous sinful desire, then the difficulty is we're not so interested in Krishna. Right? Yes. Yes, but... Yes, but it's a matter of, but we still identify with these things. So when we get purified, means we stop identifying with these, like that. So that's, because the point is we're transcendentally situated, but we don't identify that way. We identify with our previous karma, even though we don't have any, but we still identify with it. So that's the problem. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. With tears of love and affection, Chitraketu repeatedly moistened the resting place of the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. Because his voice was choked in ecstasy, for a considerable time he was unable to utter any of the letters of the alphabet to offer the Lord suitable prayers. Yes. He's king of the Vidyadharas, but whether he is a Vidyadhara, I'm not sure, but he's at least the king of the Vidyadharas.
Vidyadharas are the musicians?
I think the Vidyadharas are the instrumentalists. I think so. Yeah, I think that means Gandharvas sing, they play instruments, and the Charanas dance. Apsaras also dance, but I think the Charanas specifically as a group dance. But the point is I think all of them can do all three. But it's just that they're outstanding. Like I remember talking to one professional musician, Indian classical musician, professional. So I was asking about some other instruments, and he says, I can play them, but I'm not professional. You know, I mean, as far as we're concerned, it would be way beyond anything we can do, but they only really practice in the one, so therefore that's the top. You know, the other one may be only 90%, you know, so therefore they consider we're not, you know, so does that make sense? Gandharvas, they can play instruments and everything, they can dance, you hear them doing all that, but it's that if they're having a group thing, then generally you see them, then each one will do their group, but if they're just on their own, they'll do all three. You know, if you're out for a picnic, then, you know, they don't call in the charn as the vidyadhar is for the picnic, right?
Vidyadhar, you know, the sastra means, vidya means knowledge.
Yeah, so music is vidya. Saraswati Devi is vidya, right? And she plays a musical instrument.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in other words, someone with knowledge, then they have the refinement and everything like that. Right? This idea that they sit around with a blank look on their face in an office that's falling apart, wearing a suit that's falling apart, and can't socially interact with everybody, that's not actually the Vedic standard of knowledge. You know. And because of that, because the problem has, person can't function properly, then, you know, the ones that most can't function, they get a chair, right? Because then they can sit down, they won't fall over and hurt themselves. Right? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
The big sages, not the devout sages, they also tend to practice on their own. And they get a bit angry sometimes when they see people.
They're getting angry because they're controlling the senses.
Yeah, but I'm saying that these guys are on the lower platform, but there's some correlation between the two.
No, because they can socially interact. It's just don't make them upset. But what we were talking about in the previous, they actually don't know what to say. They don't know how to interact. They don't know how to read faces and all that. You know, because they look at your face, all they see is atoms flying around and stuff like that. You know, so they actually don't know how to interact. They can't tell what is sarcasm. You know, what's a joke? Literally. You know. The higher they are up on the totem pole in that field, the less human they are. You know, I mean, they don't become something else, they're just, you know, more like matter. You know, they just exist. Yeah, they just become soft. No chit, no ananda. Yeah, so it's... So these others, they can follow, they can do everything nicely, you just have to be a little more careful. While those who are taking up devotional service, then you'll see the senses, you know, aren't a problem because they're having a higher taste, so they give up the desires. The other ones is that they may have that taste, but they're controlling it, you know, and therefore they're elevated. But if you poke too much, then, you know, their anger may come up. So that's just one of the things, because they do that. But for the bhaktas, then you see that therefore they're peaceful and silent, grave, all these things, they don't have it. They're in a different category. That's why the Brahman is respected, because they're doing the best that a human being can be. But the devotee is beyond that, because then it's actually what human life is meant for. So you distinguish who comes over to your house. Are they sages, or are they, you know, where are they advanced in? Their sageness or their devotiness? And accordingly, then, you're more formal and exact or more relaxed. Srila Prabhupada comments, if one has scientific, philosophical, political, economic, or any other abilities, and one's perfection in this knowledge, he should offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by composing first-class poetry or in engaging his talents in the service of the Lord. Chitraketu wanted to do this, but he was unable because of loving ecstasy. Therefore, he had to wait for a considerable time before he could offer prayers. So he just had to sit there and wait. So scientific, philosophical, political, economic, or any other abilities. Point is, you go to the Lord for them. You want them, the only place to get them is the Lord. Now we'll say, well, asking the Lord for that's not so advanced, but we don't give that up. Because wanting them and not going to the Lord is even less advanced. Right? The least advanced is, I want something material, I will get it myself. right? By my own plan, my own endeavor, we don't need to include the Lord. Better than that is, I will surrender to the Lord, and by His grace, I'll make the proper endeavor. But, you know, it's by His grace that I get, right? Higher than that is, I may have these desires, but I'm only engaged in the Lord's service. And eventually we get to the point where we don't actually have any need, any desires. We just want to serve. That makes sense. So the common point is always being connected to the Lord. So we don't make the mistake of thinking, oh, we shouldn't approach the Lord for material things. I have material desires, so I will just independently try to get them. No. Verses 33 to 48. Chitraketu glorifies the Lord who expands as the entire cosmos, but remains transcendental to it. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thereafter, by controlling his mind with his intelligence and thus restricting his senses from external engagements, he recovered suitable words with which to express his feelings. Thus he began offering prayers to the Lord, who is the personification of the Holy Scriptures. The Sattvata Samhita is like the Brahma Samhita and the Narada Pancharatra, and who is the spiritual master of all. Right? So in other words, these are direct. Brahma Samhita, Narada Pancharatra, Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? These are directly the Lord. The other ones, then, they're His potency, and it's His knowledge, though it may not represent Him personally. Okay. Thus he began offering prayers to the Lord, who is the personification of the Holy Scriptures, and who is the spiritual master of all. He offered his prayers as follows, Srila Prabhupada comments. One cannot offer prayers to the Lord with mundane words. One must become spiritually advanced by controlling the mind and senses. Then he can find suitable words to offer in prayers to the Lord. Quoting the following verse from the Padma Purana, Srila Sanatana Goswami forbids us to sing any song not sung by authorized devotees. A Vaishnava Muktod Girnam Putam Hari Tatamritam Shravanam Naiva Kartavyam. Sarpo Chishtam Yata Paya. The words are songs of a person not fixed in Vaishnava behavior, not strictly following the rules and regulations and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, should not be accepted by pure devotees. Right? So even. Yes. Satvikat Tantra means your scriptures that explain the basically say the pure, the transcendental activities. Right? Because Tantra means you have mantra and then you have Tantra. So Tantra means the activities that generate results, right? So Sattvika Tantra means devotional service to Vishnu, right? Generally, we're used to Tantra being used, you know, Devi Tantra, Shaiva Tantra, like that. But there's, you know, that Tantra just means the ritual, the performance of the activity, right? Does that make sense? So Sattvika Tantras will mean those that are transcendental, you know. So here, Brahma Samhita, and what was the other one? Narada Pancharatra, right? Because Narada Muni, so devotional service and Brahma Samhita. So you have the knowledge and you have the devotional practice. So that's the point. We have the Bhagavat, we have the Pancharatrik, we use those two together. Okay. So. Right, so that means all these other things, we wouldn't, in other words, if we have the Vedic thing, we would use that. Why we would use something else? Right. Means you can see the other things if there's any truth there, but it's an origin in the Vedic, not that it's the origin of truth. Right. Because they're having these understandings is by the modes of nature. So it's not real knowledge. Right? The person's there, they've had a lifetime of experience, they can tell you so many nice things, but it's the modes of nature. So actually that's coming from Krishna. Right? So we have to be very careful, because the problem is their instruction may carry the modes with it. Well, when you hear the same instruction from the sattvatas, then it won't carry any modes. It'll be transcendental. That's why it doesn't seem to stick. You know, Prabhupada says something nice. Some karmi says exactly the same thing. We'll generally quote the karmi, not Prabhupada. Right? Because the modes are there, so we can relate. Chitraketu said, "O unconquerable Lord, although you cannot be conquered by anyone, you are certainly conquered by devotees who have control of the mind and senses. They can keep you under their control because you are causelessly merciful to devotees who desire no material profit from you. Indeed, you give yourself to them, and because of this, you also have full control over your devotees." Right? He gives himself fully to the devotee who surrendered to him, but at the same time as he has full control over the devotees. The point is when you surrender, you actually gain control. Right? This is not understood, because this is rasa. Because we think if I surrender, I'm not in control. But it's actually by surrender in the relationship, you have control. Right? So by that principle, when we say the wife is surrendered to the husband, what does that mean by this point? She's in control. Now, do you expect it means on the social platform, you know, means, you know, do you expect the husband to be so surrendered to the wife? Not so much. You understand? Because you're out in public, then it looks like he's the man. Right? Does that make sense? But he's the man completely controlled by the wife. Right? In dealings, he has to be so, how much he surrendered the wife, that's how much he controls. Right? That's the mistake that's made. No, how much I'm macho and this and that, then I control. No, it's how much you surrender. That's how you control. So the devotee is fully surrendered to the Lord. Therefore, he controls the Lord. Because the Lord is fully surrendered to the devotee because of his merciful nature. Therefore, he controls the devotee. This is how relationship works. We're not used to this. Right? Because all of our friends don't talk about this. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, the macho guys and the liberated women, they both have it absolutely, totally wrong. They think this is how we'll control. But this is persons who are totally uneducated and inexperienced and therefore immature. Though, unfortunately, according to them, they're the most qualified, most mature, and most everything, and they'll all agree and all pat each other on the back. So therefore, it works for them. Yes? Yes, that's the point. It's the women yes, they're following the macho men, because they're the ones they're trying to get control of, right? Yes, okay. Yeah. That's funny. That's a good point.
Yes. It's called a Stockholm disease. Stockholm disease.
Stokarma.
Stockholm. It's a name of disease. Yeah, like.
Oh.
If you are like a.
Stockholm.
Yeah. It's if like.
Stockholm.
Oh, Stockholm.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
Stockholm syndrome, yeah, yeah. And that means.
It means if a woman is hurt by, I mean, harmed by a man, then the woman will not hate that guy. On the contrary, she might sympathize that man.
No, this is something different. Mm. We're not talking Stockholm syndrome here. What we're talking here is, in a relationship, if you are actually trying to do everything for the other person, they will try to do everything for you.
Yeah, yeah, that but I mean, the case she mentioned.
Oh, she mentioned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, but what she's mentioning there is the women trying to be men, they're following the macho men.
Yeah, because the macho man actually hurt them. You
know? Yes, that's there, but yeah. It's not. Oh, okay, so you're saying it's unconscious. Yeah. The Stockholm symptom is unconscious.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so in that case, yes, you could say that's the Stockholm system. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Like that. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes, see? Very nice.
Yeah.
So we have scientific proof here.
Yeah.
Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the Lord and the devotees both drown in an ocean of blissful rasa attained by being controlled by each other through bhakti. In this way, Chitraketu praised the Lord, O unconquerable Lord, you are not conquered by jnanis and yogis, but you are conquered by devotees, and are made dependent on devotees, who are equal in their happiness and suffering, sama mati bihi, and who have controlled their minds. They have controlled kama, which is the nature of the mind. Right? The mind's its nature is to desire, so they've controlled that. So the desire is only to please Krishna. Thus they are without material desires in their worship. This is a cause of conquering you. These devotees are conquered by you, because you give yourself to those who worship without material desires. Krishna says, if you serve me alone and do not request liberation or anything else from me, serving me day and night, you make me a debtor. The Lord gives himself to those persons. So this is the secret. Right? This is the secret of bhakti. Is that approaching the Lord to please him without any desire for yourself, that actually makes Krishna a debtor to the devotees. Therefore, then Krishna serves the devotees. But it has to be done as not as a plan. Okay, so I can get everything I want if I surrender and don't want anything. Then I'll get everything. Yeah, we don't do that. That's why we become purified. Then being purified, then we give up those desires. Right? We may start in that position by performing devotional service, we get purified, so at the end we don't want that. So it works out fine.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
Jai
Jainatai Gaura Prema ki Jai.